You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Good to see you again. Nice to be here. Very, very cold here in Colorado. I hear that it's that way across the U.S. I want to, first of all, thank all of you who tried to call in last week on the first show. I take accountability for giving out the wrong phone number, but I had so many people saying that they were able to listen to the show, which is great. So let me say that for today, for our guest, if you would like to call in and ask a question or make a comment, the number is 323-203-0815. And we'd love for you to participate in the show as much as you would like. I do want to talk about Kristen a little bit. I'm Kristen Kashab, and I hope I didn't slaughter that too much, is with the Darrow School, and that is a boarding school in New York. Kristen has really made a career of working in boarding schools. She's got a lot of information to share today. We're going to talk about how COVID has affected education. The landscape really has changed in so many ways. And one of the things that Kristen and I were discussing was how many parents are really looking into boarding schools this last year. I've had a lot of local parents as well starting to look into boarding schools because their kids are missing, actually going to school and, you know, doing virtual just does not work for everyone. Having that peer culture, being connected to people is very, very important. And so those are some of the things that Kristen is going to talk about today and talk a little bit about the Darrow School community and what they offer. So with that being said, I would like to introduce you to Kristen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, afternoon for us. Good morning for LA.
We're in New York. Kristen, why don't you start off and just tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be at the Darrow School?
Sure. I wanted to say thank you for having me. I really love these opportunities to speak about boarding school and about education in general. I think it's on everybody's mind now. My name is Kristen Kashub, and I am the Director of Admissions and Enrollment Management here at the Darrow School in New Lebanon, New York, which is in upstate New York. We're right on the border of Massachusetts and in the midst of the beautiful Berkshires. We're a smaller school, so I think that we can speak towards some of the benefits of that at some point during our discussion. But my background is that I went to boarding school myself. I went to a large boarding school in Massachusetts and knew that it had great impact on my life and the direction that my life took. And I wanted to, or knew that I would at some point go back. I just wasn't sure in what capacity, because I wasn't sure that I was cut out to be a teacher. I didn't think that was my skill set. And so I actually had a career in New York and then went back for a reunion at my alma mater and ended up working there in admissions. So I landed in admissions and I focused a lot on international students and some domestic students and working with educational consultants a fair bit. And then I've built boarding programs at a school in New York. And then I landed in California for the last 8 years. I was actually in Ojai. And that was a different experience from the East Coast in a lot of ways. And now I'm back home in a lot of ways because I'm actually born and raised in Connecticut. So I have lived boarding schools for most of my career.
And, that was, you were talking about international. That's one of the things that has come up in some of the questions that were submitted is, you know, what is happening with the international students and are they able to come back right now? And what are boarding schools doing about, you know, potentially the loss of having those students on campus or how you're staying connected with them?
Right. So because of COVID, we've had to make a lot of changes to how we deliver our curriculum. And that includes being able to offer and engage students online virtually. So there were a handful of students that actually never left the country from when we sort of had to shut things down in March. And so they were able to return without incident. And then we did have a handful of students who continued classes virtually online. And now we also are doing what we call a extended stagger start. So we have a number of students who came in last weekend. Many students are coming in this weekend. And we have had our international students able to return then with precautions, you know, quarantining, you know, negative PCR tests, and then a quarantine when they arrive, and then another test. So it just seems like there's a lot of precautions that we all have to take. And of course, mask wearing and staggered meals and things like that. Now, internationally, in terms of the market, in terms of students continuing to look at the U.S., I think for the most part, it's been on hold for yes. quite some time. And I think that that's because the travel restrictions and concerns, but also I think folks are concerned what happens if, right? What once their students are there, and what happens if something does happen? They're, you know, half a world away. How do they get home?
Yeah.
And so I think that those are all big questions. And I think that there has been a fair amount of investment in various types of insurance that these companies, they come in and they pick up the kids and do the quarantine for the student. I mean, I think that there's a number of them that have sort of increased their prices to do that, but that is an option. I think, though, what we're seeing is that we're going to see various markets open up. It's sort of like a slower engagement in terms of the interest. I think right now families are optimistically hopeful that maybe they could potentially be here in the fall. But I also think that they're waiting, right? So they're going to maybe continue the process now, do that, engage in it really wholeheartedly. But then when the rubber hits the road and they get the contract, they're going to be like, well, what about this? What about that? And I think it's really all going to be dictated and predicated on where we are in terms of vaccines, honestly.
Does the New York School offer a summer program where some of them could come during the summer?
So Darrow, actually, we have in the past had the Boston Youth Orchestra come and take over our campus during the summer.
Oh, wow.
So that has been amazing because Tanglewood is right down the road in the Berkshires. So that has been a really wonderful addition to our campus. Now, that has sort of been on hold because being able to play an instrument in groups has proved problematic. So I think that that's on hold for the summer, but we don't offer an academic one just yet. And I think that academic programs or even enrichment programs over the summer are waiting until maybe March or April to call whether or not they're actually going to be in session.
Mm-hmm. So you and I had talked earlier. I had mentioned that a lot of parents who had never even considered boarding school for their child are looking into that and actually engaging in doing that within this last year. I know here in our community, you know, the kids themselves are missing out on that connection, the peer group, the activities, being involved in sports, and just simply being in a classroom with a teacher. And more parents now are considering the option of a boarding school because you do offer those things. And the kids are not wanting to miss out. And we don't know what the next school year is going to hold. We're hoping that it can return, but we don't know for sure. What are you seeing from your end in regards to parents calling you, you know, or ed consultants calling you with parents who had not even considered boarding school in the past?
Yeah. So in a lot of ways, I feel like it's been a bit of a renaissance for boarding schools. I feel like all the things that we've been talking about as folks in admissions, about the power of boarding, the power of community, the power of being in having your entire life as a high schooler in one place. It's now actually not hitting deaf ears. I think people are really realizing that students are languishing in their bedrooms doing class. I think that public schools have made a real concerted effort to try and make it work, and some have found success. I'm not saying that it's been across the board, but I do think that there's a number of people that are being left behind, mm-hmm. And I think that it could be boys and girls missing the athletic engagement, boys and girls missing that interaction that's in a lot of cases necessary for students to understand and engage in the material that they're learning in the classroom. I also think that, a lot happens when you're in high school. I mean, you're really defining who you are and who you want to be. And we can't really rely on social media or video games for that.
I hope not.
I hope not too. But I feel like that's where this time has put us, right? It's put us on these platforms that we wouldn't necessarily spend copious amounts of time, and we get comfortable there. And then we get defined by these unrealistic standards. We get scared of getting out of that norm. So I think that what we're going to see is a high incidence of anxiety in students. I think that there's going to be, I was listening to some other podcast or something that was saying that, there's probably going to be a fair amount of remediation in terms of folks trying to catch back up. They've missed material. Math is not always the easiest subject to be teaching virtually.
And some students seem to just be giving up.
And there is that. And, then, they've become comfortable in their room and in their space and in who they are now. And what does that look like when they get out of that or when they have to push out of that? And I think that's where boarding schools come in. We do allow for students to actually have a life, have peers, laugh over a meal, be on teams. They might not necessarily be competing as much or as actively, depending upon where your school is located. There's all kinds of rules in terms of, county rules or state rules in terms of that. But, folks are, they need that level of engagement. And how are arts happening? Are we all putting everything digitally?
And music. Just the things that you really do to express yourself, dance, different aspects in the expressive arts has totally, been left off the table. In a lot of situations.
And I think that's been an outlet for a lot of students to really define and express who they are. And they're just not having those outlets. And I think that that's a real disservice to some of these kids. And never mind the fact that there are plenty of students that have learning differences of some kind, whether it be, the ability to focus on what's happening in the class or folks that might need redirection. And if you're online with 30 kids, 40 kids, that's really hard to do or to differentiate when you've got faces looking at you. And do you want to call out one particular student while you're in an active classroom? Like, I don't know if that's necessarily constructive. So I think that those folks are legitimately like getting left behind.
Well, let's talk about what the Darrow School offers in the realm of academics and how you have adjusted to the situation of COVID with what you're offering.
Right. So Darrow School does offer a traditional high school curriculum where students engage in core classes in order to graduate, just like any other program. But what's unique about Darrow is that we do, as students move on in their time with us, 11th and 12th grade, they get a little bit more agency in terms of how they engage with their curriculum and what direction they take. So we do encourage students to engage in our robust elective opportunities, our expansive art opportunities, and also above and beyond all of what we offer, we encourage independent study work. So Darrow is a really great place for those that are curious and interested in the world and want to better understand how it works and why it works that way. A lot of what we do teach, even in the core curriculum, is that we want students to understand what they're learning and why it's relevant. So more real world application. We do have a high level of engagement in our surrounding community in the Berkshires, in particular in the arts, but also in all disciplines. You know, in the arts, we will bring thespians and musicians, and we'll bring artists and cartoonists and photographers all to campus, and they will do workshop style work with the students and then have some sort of culminating experience, whether it be performance or a showcase of some kind. But so I think that there's lots of opportunity at Darrow. We also allow for those students that might need that extra scaffolding in their education through our learning skills program.
Okay.
So that students that might need either extended time or support in learning strategies or organization. So those are things that we focus in on, but we also do have an emphasis on what is our impact on the community and the world at large. And I think that's important too, because I wonder how much of that is being missed in this moment as well. So we do have an emphasis on community service, so students understand the power and impact that that has. Non-COVID times, it's been on and off campus. COVID times, we've mainly focused on campus activities. But a perfect example is that we would normally be engaging with the Humane Society in town, and now they're walking the faculty dogs.
Okay.
So we've made sort of these pivots so that kids can still have access to animals, because those are also good stressor releaser. Right. But then we also, you know, we have a number of trails on campus because we're on a 400-acre campus. And so students will maintain the trails. We also make maple syrup in the spring, and there's a lot of prep work that goes into that. So they might work in the kitchen. There's lots of opportunities in terms of that engagement. And then we also have a number of affinity groups. And now these affinity groups are anything from a Black Student Alliance to a Latin Student Alliance to a Spectrum group, which is LGBTQ+. Group, and all of these are actually responsible for the discourse and awareness of us as a community. So on Tuesday night, they spearhead the conversation. And one of the conversations when the school year started was the power of pronouns. Why does it matter? Mm-hmm. You know, I think these
talked about a lot right now.
Yeah, to be aware of why what you say and the impact it has on others, and also the power that it has for self. And so I think that I think Darrow does a really good job of encouraging and fostering those discussions, but also making people aware. And then all we can do as a school, right, is create a microcosm of what we want out in the world and then let it loose, right? And so I feel like that's what we're doing here. In our little way, we're impacting the world.
And another question that had been sent in was, what is campus life now with the change of COVID? You know, what is dorm life like? You had mentioned the staggering of meals. You know, what's happening with classes? You'd mentioned, you know, a little bit about athletics and that you're not able to do as much as before. But, you know, what is the on-campus atmosphere and living situation currently like?
Right. So we have to be careful, you know, bringing students to campus. And we were successful in the fall to have everyone here. And that was, you know, but it takes a lot of preparation. It takes a lot of thoughtful consideration of how students can continue to interact, still foster community, but also be aware of all of these stipulations and regulations that we have to adhere to. So in what we did academically was instead of, and this was all in preparation for the potential of going on virtual if something did arise in the fall. And so what we did do, instead of having year-long courses, what we did was we truncated those courses into one semester so that when and if we went virtual, students would not be responsible for 5 or 6 classes, but they would be responsible for 3.
Okay.
So that I think has really helped, because if most of the boarding schools, what they did end up doing was they had students arrive in August or September, and then
September for a lot of them.
Yeah. They stayed until the Thanksgiving break. And so until November, and then they went home and finished the rest of that semester at home. And that was what we did in terms of beyond that. We also modified. So our classes are typically smaller, so about 9 students in a class.
Okay.
But again, we also had to be very conscious and aware of how many students were in one space and for how long. So while we truncated the classes into one semester, we also halved every class. If we were able to, if there was a class of like 7, they would be able to meet as a cohort. But if it was bigger than that, then we would say, okay, half of the class has to take it virtually and the other half can take it in the classroom. And class classroom time was actually only an hour, but they met every day instead of the hour and a half, which we normally have non-COVID times. Okay. And we also, on sort of like residential life and just being on campus together, we had to make other precautions. So there's a number of sanitizing stations all around campus, almost at every doorway and every entryway. There's some sort of sanitizer. Everyone's required to wear masks. Prior to arrival to campus, students had to quarantine in their home for a week and then supply a negative PCR test. And then when they came to campus, they then tested again after a few days. So they'd be here, they'd be in their dorm, but they were able to go get meals and come back to their dorm, but they would take their classes in their dorm until they were able to be tested and cleared.
Okay.
And then what we did was we did staggered meals.
So, what is dorm life like?
So students are in their room and they can be unmasked. So that is that's their safe space. In the dorm, they do have to wear masks. If they are within 6 feet of each other outside, they have to wear masks. But if they're outside and further apart, they can be without masks. I got to tell you, it's a challenge.
Is it so one person to a dorm room now?
No. What we did modify in that front is we used to have a couple of triples on campus.
Right.
And so rather than making them triples or continuing to have triples, we now have doubles.
Okay.
But what we also did, because in the fall we had the day students coming and going to campus, and they were basically here for the most part 2, sometimes 3 days a week, depending upon what they were involved in. And that was always sort of that variable factor for us in the fall. And what we were finding is in terms of COVID, not in terms of anything else, but what we were finding is that the day students were really struggling to feel engaged in the community. So this is sort of a microcosm of what families or students might be feeling outside of a boarding school.
Right.
So we were feeling it just with our day student community. And we responded to that this semester by inviting those families to campus. So they're now living in the dorms. We have most of our day students. There's a handful that wanted to stay home, which is fine. But again, we're reducing that risk within our community so that we can maintain our life here in a safe manner.
Okay. How many day students do you have versus how many boarding students do you have?
So we have about 85 boarders and 15 day students.
Okay.
And out of those 15, there's maybe 3 that decided not to return to campus or live in the dorms. So they're going to continue to go home at the end of the day.
Okay. And they continue then testing and so forth, because obviously they're at home and around other people who are out and about, or?
Interestingly, we all have signed what we call a COVID honor code.
Okay.
So this is, you know, we all understand the risks of being together, and being able to do that off means that we have to sort of be aware, be very conscious, and in a lot of instances, minimize our risk and minimize our potential of bringing it to the community. I mean, I think a number of people, I mean, I know I myself don't want to be the one that brings it here. So right. I think everybody's being really, really vigilant on what they do when they're not here.
Okay. What would you say to a parent who had never considered boarding school before? I mean, it just really was never on the radar. But now, because of the COVID situation, is really making that consideration. Not to take away from our local, you know, public school system and so forth, but like you said, the kids are missing. And just talking to the kids in the neighborhood where I live, you know, they're missing that peer culture of connection, you know, more than anything else. And a lot of them actually are getting bored with technology, which is not something I ever thought I'd hear them say.
I know.
And actually want to see their friends rather than talk to them on the phone, which is not anything that I thought I'd hear them say. So right. They're actually making that shift away from needing that one-on-one connection as well. And for parents who haven't ever thought about a boarding school or really don't know a lot about it, how could you introduce them, you know, to what their student, I mean, you've talked about a lot of the things that are offered, but, you know, just somebody that's never been a part of their life, or they've never thought about that before.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that, as I said earlier, I do think that more and more people are open to the option. I think that a number of people may have been hesitant in the past because they thought that they were sending their child away. And it was always a bad thing. It was like Harry Potter, like, Just, you know, go away. And I got to tell you that that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, there, I only think of boarding school as just this wonderful, amazing gift that you could give to your children. And a gift in that I feel like, I mean, if I hearken back to my days, and I can always relate to a number of these families when I think of where I came from, is that I came from a very homogeneous community where I didn't have access to any diversity. I was in that school system for most of my life, and I never really thought anything else. You know, I just thought that was where I was going to be. And I think that what boarding school did afford to me was that I saw that the world was a very, very big place, that there were lots of varying views and opinions, that there were different ways to learn, that there could, that you could actually really enjoy learning, that you could actually have a conversation with your teacher, maybe have a meal with an adult. Oh my gosh. You know, that all these things that I never thought as a 13, 14 year old that I would be empowered to do. And I think that these are things, these are those indescribable things, these intangibles that happen inherently at a boarding school. And I think that it happens in the classroom, sort of understanding your learning style and understanding other points of view and having that discourse and having that high level of engagement. I think there's so many schools out there that still are in the dark ages in terms of, you know, lecture style, test on Friday, see you later. And I think that boarding schools, it's just not like that. I mean, we are out on our land and we're learning about biology and sustainability. And we're talking about, you know, why do we have thumbs, you know, all this kind of stuff. Like all of this happens when you're in a community where people challenge the norm, right? And you want to know why it is. You just don't want to read what photosynthesis is. You want to see it, you know? And I think that that's sort of the power of boarding. I do think that as we see more and more families where there's two income earners, and you know, some of the, you know, the ability for students to continue to have a life outside of their academic life, whether it be sports or arts or voice or anything, that in most instances requires some means of transportation and getting students to these activities. And on a boarding school campus, they put on their sneakers and they walk there. You know, it's just very different. You know, there's a whole nother level of this autonomy and agency that students have when they go away to boarding school. So what I would say to families is don't be shy about asking the questions that you want to know. You know, ask the folks in the admission office, well, what happens if, well, you know, what if they're, you know, homesick? What if,
what if they get the flu?
Yeah, what if they get the flu? Or, you know,
what if you're not feeling well? How is
there's always that initial call. Like, kids will get on campus and it'll be the first like week, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, where kids are calling home every single day and they're stressing out and they're like, nobody likes me, the food is horrible, you know, all this. I mean, it's the same, you know, dialogue at every school. And then we get these panic calls from parents being like, well, nobody likes them. They don't have any friends. They say the food is horrible. And, you know, and part of it is we want to say, you know, we'll believe, if you don't believe all that you hear from your child, we won't believe all that we hear from your child either. Right. You know, like that kind of thing, because, you know, that's, we need to have some trust and some faith in the process that, you
know. Well, change is hard, and it's hard for the kids when they.
Without a doubt. But then what happens is parents call after 2 or 3 weeks, they'll call and they'll say, they're not calling anymore.
I haven't heard from them.
What's going on? Is everything okay? And I think that was that initial, you know, just trying to get adjusted, trying to land on your feet. And then, you know, they meet one friend, they meet five friends, they get involved in the arts or the sports or, you know, advocacy groups or whatever. And, you know, and all of a sudden they're ensconced and, you know, they have a life here too.
Do you have what I'll call a typical school schedule where the kids do have breaks throughout the year and are going home and like spring break and winter break? And
sure, there are all those. I mean, a number of schools, I think a traditional calendar would be where folks arrive late August to September. There might be like a long weekend in October-ish, which is usually parent-teacher conferences.
Okay.
Where parents can get to know what's happening in the classroom, especially if they're not getting that phone call about what's happening. And then they're here with us until Thanksgiving. So then we'll have about 10 days at Thanksgiving and then all the way to Christmas. They'll come back and they'll be here till Christmas where we have a break. Usually it's around the 20th, or like a couple of days before Christmas itself. And that'll be a longer one, more like two and a half weeks. Mm-hmm. And then usually there's a spring break sometime in March, I would say. And it's usually, again, a little bit longer than you might find at a traditional public school, about 2 weeks.
Okay. And talk to me a little bit about how they get college counseling and coaching, you know, when they start looking at maybe in their junior year, what they're going to do after high school, and what kind of support is offered around that aspect of their future.
So that process starts the moment they enroll. You know, we're talking about, well, what have you taken in the past? You know, it's very easy to say, okay, if you're a ninth grader, here's your 4-year plan. Of course, it's meant to change.
Right.
You know, everybody knows that. But if you're a junior, you know, we're really looking closely at what you've taken in the past. What are you interested in? What you think you want to do and continue your journey with us. And really speaking towards that in how we plan your schedule. We do have a college counselor, and she works with all the different admission offices at the universities. And they, you know, non-COVID times would be coming to campus.
Right.
Anywhere from, you know, 70 to 80 schools would be coming through here. And, you know, meeting with students, interviewing students, doing presentations for them, answering questions, just, you know, being a little bit more accessible. You know, now COVID times, a lot of it is unfortunately virtual. And they're doing like coffee house kind of sessions where students can ask questions. And, you know, it's just so hard for these folks that don't, you know, if they don't know the school, they don't know the people, and, you know, their teams, and they're not as open or willing to ask the questions. So we try and foster the conversation when possible. And then we usually have workshops for the students to, like, one-on-one sessions with the students and their parents to talk about, you know, hopes, dreams, aspirations, and expectations, and try and manage a list that has, you know, givens, you know, maybe some reaches, and some in the middle. So we're looking to create a diverse list, and but of course trying to address all of what they seek in their next school. And then we do workshops with the students to help them fill out their applications, write their essays, do a couple edits and revisions. And then we'll also help them fill out any financial aid paperwork that they might be needing to fill out. And then, you know, waiting for those acceptances. Now, we also here, because our arts are so strong, we also have students that are looking at arts programs. So we are helping students in the visual arts to develop and design their portfolio. In the performing arts, we have a professional sound studio so students can record and submit, you know, demos or audios of themselves. So we foster that as well. So that's all, you know, part of the process. If students are in our learning skills program, you know, the intent of that program is really to help students understand their learning style and eventually sort of take the training wheels off and make it on their own. And but some students, that's where they will remain. And so we work hand in hand with college counseling to ensure that wherever they land after us, that they have supports in place for them as well.
One of the local students here who's considering a boarding school for the fall has asked about, he's a very sports-oriented young man and has visions of, you know, a college accepting him on a, you know, scholarship for his sports. What's happening with that now because they're not as engaged as they can be? I mean, we're all hoping that this is going to get normalized, you know, within the next year. But yeah, that's one of the concerns that he had as a potential boarding school student.
I got to tell you, it is tough in terms of athletics right now. Because if the students can't pull together a tape of some sort of their play, their level of play, it's really, and if coaches are not coming out to see games or if games are non-existent, so that's why they're not coming. It makes it really, really tough. And I think that, you know, a number of students are going to have to think about whether or not this is a wasted year and they have to redo it because of sports, if that's really their passion. And I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying that I do know that some students are seriously considering that. But I also think that whatever, unfortunately, we're going to have to look at past level of play.
Yes. Right?
So it may have improved since they've been with us, but if the best we can do is past level of play, then that's where we are. But we have been really diligent about mask wearing. I mean, we have to be out of our sports. I would say boys basketball is our highest level sport that we have. All the others, I mean, every one of our sports is a zero cut policy, but the high level basketball team, they're getting recruited to Division I and Division II programs. So what we tried to do was, get some tape from practice with our peers, but it's just different, right? It's just different. It's not you hustling for the ball. I mean, you can act it out like you would anything else, but it's hard. It's hard to recreate that passion that you have during a game. So I think we're just going to have to be creative, and I think coaches are going to have to I think it's going to be a leap of faith in some instances. But I think that maybe over the summer, if there's going to be some programming that continues in terms of sports, that students should look into those opportunities.
He's looking into, because basketball is his passion.
Yeah. And so I think that that's, these AU teams and, all these other high level teams that students can be a part of, if they're competing in another state, then try it. The problem is, though, that, a lot of these programs are also running into this contagion piece. They say that it's
a week.
Yeah, I mean, they say they got to do it. That's part of how they can get into college. But then, okay, so what does it mean when, 10 players are sick? So I think you just got to balance the risks there. And I don't have the right answer, but I do think it's a challenge right now.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody has, a right answer as we continue to go through this. And, again, holding out hope that things are going to get better in this coming year, but also still trying to figure out in the moment what's going to be the best, for them to do. Right.
I also think it's important to know that what we're probably seeing right now is that folks that are not necessarily satisfied with their current schooling situation, that they are holding out hope, like you said, that the fall is going to happen and everything's going to be back to normal, which I don't know if that's going to be a reality. I don't know. It depends on who you talk to.
We don't know.
Nobody knows. But I do think that, again, going back to that, don't be afraid to ask the question, is I think that don't be afraid to ask the question as you have it. So even though a lot of these schools say that their deadline was in January or in February, there's going to be spaces throughout, because
that was another question I was going to ask you. So some of the parents have said, I'm just starting to think about this now. Have I missed the deadline? Is this off the table? What are the possibilities?
I really think that everything's possible at this point. Okay. I think that admissions this year and, the end of last year and this year, I think it has just widened the playing field in so many ways that I think it's going to be really hard to say that we're all done by April.
Okay.
I just don't think it's going to be possible.
Okay.
I think that, there's complications financially because of COVID. So, how do you keep your current families? How do you then work with potential new families? And they have been implicated with COVID, or, their life has been, changed dramatically and their circumstances have changed. And so they just think, I don't think I should ask, And I think that there are going to be spaces at a lot of schools throughout the summer.
Okay.
For sure, because I think that that's the other thing, right? So there's going to be counties or districts or towns that wait to decide whether or not they're going to be in person, or if they're going to be totally virtual or hybrid or whatever.
Here locally, we have no answers. I mean, every week it's a different maybe, but there's no answers.
And when folks get some semblance of what they think it's going to be, that's when they're going to pick up the phone and call you or call me. And I think that you should feel empowered to do that, because you're advocating for your child. And, this could be, in a lot of ways, is this, time out of education that we're going to have to make up? How is it going to impact our kids in the future? I just don't know. And, you know, if we're 1 year in, and we're just doing okay, what is another year going to be of this? I think it's going to be really detrimental. And so I can't advocate enough for going to a community, whether it be a day school or a boarding school. But I think that, you know, boarding schools have the ability and the power to make their own bubble and make it possible and have their life there. And so I think that they're a wonderful option for a lot of families.
So, Kristen, I want to make sure that you let our viewers know how they can best reach you, what your website is, you know, things that they can look for on your website as well to learn more about the Darrow School, a phone number for them to call and speak to someone in admissions.
Sure. So we have, you know, like everyone else, really put a lot of investment in our website and in doing virtual events. So you can find a lot of information on our website. It's darrowschool.org, D-A-R-R-O-W school.org. And on there under the admissions tab, you'll find what we call our virtual view book. And it's actually a series of about 10 different videos that you can that highlight our program and give you sort of a peek into life on campus, and you can see how beautiful it is and learn more about the high level of engagement and some of the programmatic offerings. But then we also offer monthly virtual open houses, and And those open houses are really great because you'll meet not only the head of school, myself, because I'm always happy to meet anybody, you know, but you'll also meet some of the teachers, like some of the players in your child's lives, you know, and I think that's just as powerful as talking to me, you know, or anybody else. So I, you know, you'll hop into the classroom, you'll hear about some of the programs, you'll see some of our performances, which you can also find on our YouTube channel. And then we'll have an academic panel to talk about our experiential learning and what that looks like here at Darrow, because there's some really neat opportunities outside of the electives and independent study work. And then we also will have a student panel. So students can ask the nitty-gritty of what it's like to live in a community on campus, you know, all of these questions that people are just dying to ask. Because it's so, sometimes people just don't know. And I love that.
No, they don't know. And so this is great. I think especially student speaking to student is really powerful, because those are the peer groups that, you know, that they would be seen and involved with and want to hear from. Sometimes they believe them more than they believe the adults.
Oh, 100%. Yep. I agree with you. And, you know, we also make those connections. So if there's somebody who's really interested in theater, we'll connect them with our theater teacher. If somebody wants to know about basketball, they can speak to the coach. And I think that the, you know, all of that comes through the admission office. So again, pick up the phone and don't be afraid to ask.
Okay. What's the best phone number for them to call you?
So 518-704-2761.
Great. I really want to thank you for being here today. You've given a lot of information, so people will be able to view this video over and over and over again to kind of take it all in. And it's posted on LA Talk Radio on their Facebook page as well, so they can listen to it. It's been so fun having you be my first guest.
Thank you, Dory. I mean, what a great opportunity. I love talking about all things education. So
yes,
anytime. Lovely.
Education and every voice matters. And that's, you know, that's truly what this show is about, is many different people being able to share what's going on in their lives and what's happening in the world and what they're offering. And I think right now, offering youth, you know, an academic education in a way that they may not be able to get it in the local public school system because of COVID, you know, is something more and more parents are now thinking about. And so I really appreciate you being here and sharing that today.
Of course. Thank you, Dory.
Okay,
appreciate
Kristen,
it.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Soon.
Bye.
I want to let our guests know too, and Kristen, next week, our person of interest is going to be Chris Krueger, And Chris is actually with Edward Jones, and we're going to talk about financial planning. So that might be a good thing that fits into people who are also looking at boarding schools and other options. But one of the things that I, Christy, and maybe you don't know, I had this radio show previously about 10 years ago.
Oh, I did not know.
So I'm back after a 10-year
congratulations.
Hiatus. But I would always end the show with a little saying, and I had some people reach out last week and say, we didn't hear your saying, and you didn't, you know, leave us with something to think about. So I'm going to do that. And this week, my saying is breathe slowly and recall a time when things were direct and uncomplicated. And I hope that for everyone who's listening, we can take a time to just breathe slowly. I think with everything that's going on, as slow as everything is happening, there's so much anxiety that's taking place, you know, with kids, with parents, with people at work, with people trying to figure out work, with our dogs in daycare, just on a daily basis, and really stopping to think about how we can uncomplicate what's going on in our life. And I hope that people will take the opportunity to do that for themselves this week and allow themselves to have an uncomplicated life if possible, at least for the week. So thank you everyone for being here. I'll look forward to seeing you all next week again. And reach out anytime if you'd like to be a guest on the show. We're actually booking now into August. So we have lots of people who are coming. And again, every voice matters. So we hope to hear from you, whatever it is that you would like to discuss. Take care, everyone, and be well. Bye-bye. Just waiting. Bye. We'll see you all next week, Thursday, 12 noon Mountain Time. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.